And welcome to the Stu Peters Show. I'm Paul Harrell filling in for Stu. So on June 19th, 2021, Joe Biden declared that the 19th of June would be an observational celebratory federal holiday to commemorate the 1865 end of slavery, the day where President Abraham Lincoln emancipated enslaved African Americans in Texas. So if you tried to go to the bank this morning and couldn't because they were closed, now you know why. But Juneteenth is more than a mild inconvenience because of a banking holiday. No, to put it bluntly, this day of observation has so far only been surrounded by death, mass shootings, and mob violence rampaging from New Jersey to Illinois, sometimes consistently, for entire weekends. Yesterday morning at the Willowbrook Mall in Illinois, 20 individuals were shot and one fatally injured as a Juneteenth celebration became violent and out of control. Two are currently wounded and in critical condition. A day before that, on Saturday, CNN has this headline, quote, at least one juvenile killed and nine others injured in an overnight mass shooting in St. Louis. The report goes on, quote, the injured victims' ages range between 15 and 19 years old. A 17-year-old female was also trampled running from the scene and has serious spinal injuries. So over the weekend, that's two mass shootings resulting in two dead, 10 to 11 critically injured, and 20 shot while celebrating Juneteenth. And there's more we're going to get to here in just a moment. And again, this is nothing new. This is a growing trend. This violence is becoming a habitual annual occurrence to commemorate this made-up politically correct holiday. 2 years ago, National File reporter Frankie Stocks broke a viral story about a white woman in New Jersey. She was beaten half to death by a celebratory Juneteenth mob. Stocks broke the viral story in 2021, the first year of Biden's federal recognition. The report revealed that as a white woman was nearly beaten to death by the majority black crowd, bystanders cheered and encouraged the assault. National File's Frankie Stocks joins us now to share more. Frankie, welcome to the Stu Peters Show. Thanks so much for coming on.
Hey, Paul, thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
So let's start with last year, okay, or 2 years ago, 2021, where we had the first commemoration of Juneteenth. You broke the story on National File about this New Jersey white woman who was almost killed.
Yeah. This really kicked off what's been a holiday of mayhem and violence, a holiday of murder, of marauding. There was a white woman at a New Jersey Juneteenth celebration. And the video shows, I mean, it's absolutely hideous. She is set upon by the entire crowd. She is being beaten. She's being pulled around by the hair. She's being pulled around by the feet. I mean, it looks like they're about to draw and quarter this girl. The crowd's cheering it on. They're calling, you know, basically calling for her head. And this is what we've seen. Just as this holiday has marched on, as it's been observed more and more on the national level, now that it's a federal holiday, we've seen this over and over again. And, you know, it's not just just attacks on whites, but it's turned into a day of black on black crime, black on black homicide. It's complete and total mayhem. And that is exactly where we picked up this year. You know, this holiday, just to backtrack even before 2021, this holiday was brought on by Black Lives Matter's murderous riots that basically demanded the overhaul of the United States into a Marxist society, into a Maoist society. And this has really been put in place to delegitimize the 4th of July as America's true Independence Day. You know, we have BLMers saying this is our real Independence Day. This is America's real Independence Day. You know, the 4th of July is for a bunch of racists. Juneteenth is our new, you know, National Day of Freedom and National Day of Independence. It breaks the confidence of large segments of people in the United States and the foundations of the United States, and it polarizes the population along racial lines. It's become a day where not only are white people set upon, but black people are set upon. It's just a complete day of violence and destruction at this point. We see over and over and over again these big parties, these big neighborhood block parties turn into shooting galleries, turn into mass beatings.
And we also have the GOP, though. I mean, the GOP is celebrating this, you know, putting out tweets and, you know, embracing this holiday. Again, you know, trying to come across, again, it's this idea that neutrality exists when really and truly neutrality is a myth. You have a new story up at nationalfile.com that details, we detailed what happened in St. Louis just now in the monologue. We talked about what happened in Illinois. But you have a piece out right now at nationalfile.com that talks about the other shootings that took place across the country over the weekend, North Carolina, Ohio, and California. Can you tell us about those?
Oh, absolutely. So in Asheville, North Carolina, there was to be a weekend-long celebration of Juneteenth. This was sponsored by the local Martin Luther King Association. And on the very first day, there's a shooting. A young man, a 16-year-old. Of course, they haven't released his race. Just like in all the rest of the shootings, they won't even give a racial description of suspects that are still on the lam. So this young man shows up to the Juneteenth bash and shoots two people. You know, he's actually been apprehended. Then in Ohio, suspects still on the run, it looks like. There was a Juneteenth parade. There was a Juneteenth party at a park. A young man was shot in the chest. You know, these are regular occurrences on this so-called holiday. And this is only what we're hearing about so far in national media reports. You've got all the way across the country in San Diego. Two people shot, one of them shot fatally after a dispute at a Juneteenth celebration. Suspect, again, still on the run. Police won't release a racial description. They say that he's in dark clothing, but they won't say what his skin looks like. So this is really absurd. And it's, I think that we're seeing the entire narrative surrounding this Juneteenth holiday of empowerment and unity just be busted. And, because of that, the police, the media, the local government class, and for that matter, the federal government class, the GOP, the DNC, they will not discuss what's really going on, that this holiday has turned into a big party of mayhem, destruction, and murder.
I mean, you know, it's just like, and if they did cover, they would say it was peaceful, you know, just like the BLM yeah. riots and everything else. And you mentioned how this is now turning into black-on-black crime. Obviously, the story from 2021 there was, clearly racial animosity towards the white woman in New Jersey. So practically, I think this is becoming, feel free to respond to this. Is this a holiday every year when it comes around? Maybe this is what it's designed to do, where non-blacks just need to stay inside for their own protection and safety?
Oh, yeah. I completely and totally agree with that. I have seen all day on Twitter, over social media, basically, you know, headlines, tweets, graphics up on the internet saying this holiday is not for you, white people. You know, this is not your holiday. Stay away. You know, this holiday is not for whites. So, yeah, 100%. You know, this is what we're seeing, I think, in a lot of these black communities is basically gang violence, beefs being settled when the whole community shows up to a block party. But just like in New Jersey in the previous instance, and just like we've seen in other places, you know, really, this has emboldened attacks on whites. You know, and that was part and parcel of the BLM agenda, part and parcel of the BLM movement from the very top. To delegitimize really the existence of white people, the white founders of the United States of America, the white people who built this country through the entire history of it. This has been to delegitimize them, and it's now put a target on white people's backs. It truly has.
Yeah, and you know, we're never going to, like you said, even the CNN article that I quoted earlier, it doesn't want to mention that this happened during Juneteenth celebrations, quote, celebrate. I mean, you've got to put it in quotation mark. I mean, what kind of celebration ends in, you know, in death and mayhem and carnage the way we have seen? But that's another angle here. From what I can tell, the media, mainstream media, reporting on the shootings, right, because they have to, but they don't want to report in the context that the shootings took place, which was Juneteenth celebrations.
Absolutely. And, you know, to take it even a step further, they're characterizing these as mass shootings. The American public has been conditioned through the corporate media, through the political narrative, that when the word mass shooting is thrown out, it evokes an image of a lone wolf white male, some guy that's dejected and rejected, some guy that's in his parents' house playing video games all day and snaps and goes out and decides to kill a bunch of people. We know that in reality, whites are actually slightly underrepresented in the overall makeup of mass shooters, while blacks are overrepresented in the overall makeup of mass shooters, by definition, the term mass shooting, when multiple people are shot in a gun crime. So when they report this as a mass shooting, you know, it really evokes an image of something like Columbine or something like a white guy coming out and shooting up a bunch of black people. a Dylann Roof type scenario, but that's it couldn't be farther from the truth. If anything, it's been the exact opposite, and whites have been victimized on Juneteenth repeatedly, and now so are Black people are being victimized repeatedly. You know, there's children that go out to these events, and then they are shot because Black gang members come out beefing. You know, they come out wanting to settle scores and they know the whole community's there. So there's a good chance that they're going to run in to their street corner rival and they can duke it out there with guns, with knives, with whatever they damn well please in the middle of the streets.
Yeah, you know, it's just an absolute tragedy. And what's worse is that we have, and I mentioned this a second ago, but we have the GOP. They're embracing this. They are just embracing this political correctness and it's ridiculous. I mean, it's sick. I mean, this is essentially, like you said earlier, it's a made up holiday that sprung out of violence. We really shouldn't be so shocked at all. I mean, the holiday was created because of a mob outrage, mob violence, or mob demands, if you will. And now this is essentially, and do you remember that movie, Frankie, The Purge? Years ago, I feel like that was certainly some sort of psychological, preface to this psychological foreshadowing, programming, getting people okay and comfortable with the idea of one day a year just getting to take all of your aggressions out on the people that you hate. I mean, that's what that movie was about. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, I absolutely remember it. And there was a sequel to it as well, which I'm pretty sure, if I recall correctly, revolved a lot around killing people who were basically cast as conservatives in the movie, or conservatives coming out and going on these crazed rampages. So the whole thing had kind of political motivations to it in that sequel to the movie. So I think you're totally on the right track there. And, you know, let me just add about the made-up holiday portion of this. I think that a lot of this goes to, you know, this went hand in hand with the destruction of Civil War history in the United States, making this a holiday. Well, they talk about it commemorating the end of slavery. Well, you know, when the Emancipation Proclamation was invoked in Galveston, Texas, which is what Juneteenth commemorates, in the states that did not secede, slave states that did not secede from the Union, like Kentucky, like Delaware, there were still slaves, and there were still slaves until the 13th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution was ratified in December of that year. And in many cases, especially in Delaware, Joe Biden's home state of Delaware, people kept slaves a lot longer than the 13th Amendment. And that's historically documented. That's backed up by fact. So this entire thing has really, it's been multifaceted, and a large part of it has been to delegitimize the Confederacy in America's Civil War history and really kind of I think spur on and legitimize the destruction and the erasure of America's Civil War history and the destruction of all of our monuments.
You know, we have come such a long way since, you know, Barack Hussein Obama was elected twice, or, you know, selected twice. If you really think, I mean, I think back to what he said about racial unity and bringing, you know, people together. And yet we are now more divided racially than ever before. I mean, you talk about like a broken promise, and really politicians constantly intentionally do the opposite of whatever they say their platform is. They will do the opposite. And yet here we are more racially divided than ever. You would have thought the Civil War, you know, ended like 10 years ago. But with the way people are acting right now, it's absolutely ridiculous. But it's done. And feel free to respond to this. It's done to keep people divided, and so that the elites preserve their power. Because if we ever actually united on, you know, the idea of family, that's why the left's attacking the family. We're talking about that later in the program. But yeah, this is about division, isn't it, Frankie?
Yeah, 100% is. And, you know, it really does go back to the installation of Barack Hussein Obama as president. All that we heard in that 2008, early 2009 time period was that we had moved into some kind of post-racial America. Yes. And like you said, it's the exact opposite. America is more racially polarized than ever before. And it has come as a direct result of the really, I won't say the Democrats, I'll say the uniparties, you know, racial overhaul of American politics. And let's call it what it is. It's an outright genocide targeting of white people and of heritage Americans.
Yeah. You know, and on Barack Hussein Obama, if you'd have told me on September 12th, 2001, that, you know, 7 years from now, we're going to elect a guy president named Barack Hussein Obama, I would have lost that bet. I can promise you that.
Oh, 100%. It was like a lampoon of the American public.
The intolerance of America, right? We're so intolerant that 7 years after, you know, the war on terror started, we elected a guy with the middle name Hussein. Really, really this massive intolerant country. Absolutely ridiculous. Frankie Stocks, thank you so much of National File. You can find your great reporting at nationalfile.com. Thank you so much for being a guest here on the Stu Peters Show.
Thank you for having me, Paul.
Great Absolutely. To be with you. Folks, this is the Stu Peters Show. My name is Paul Harrell, filling in for Stu back here in just a moment.
Look around at what's going on right now. Banks are collapsing all over the place. And then they're getting bailed out. And who's paying for that? You are. They say taxpayers won't pay. They say that other banks will pay. Well, how do those banks get that money? They'll probably raise your bank fees like they always do. And if the Fed steps in, you'll likely also be paying an inflation tax. In times like this, storing all of your money in a bank may be very risky, as we have seen. So what can two average Joes like you and I even do about it? Protect your wealth with gold and silver, just like so many other Americans and banks are doing right now. Call 855-706-GOLD to learn how to protect your savings with gold and silver. Call Gold Co. today, 855-706-GOLD.
Taxation is theft, especially when your money is used to fund evil.
Wear a mask. Get boosted.
Corona hoax, mass deception, America controlled by fear. Good news. There's another way. You can stop paying for the crimes and cover-up today through Freedom Law School.
The best thing you can do, according to the IRS's own official auditors, is to stop filing and paying income taxes.
Based on the government's official websites, there is no law requiring 99% of Americans to file and pay income tax. See the proof for yourself on freedomlawschool.org. Don't wait to drain the DC swamp. Start your journey to freedom from IRS deception, robbery, and slavery. Starve out the problem. Weaponize your earnings. Defund the swamp and fund the truth and freedom movement today. Go to livefreenow.org and restore the freedom we all miss.
Everybody now knows that we live in an upside down clown world under an empire of lies, a murderous regime. So previously it may have sounded crazy, but I'm sure you won't be surprised to learn that liberals are very upset that people like me are advertising the Vanish holster. They cannot stand how this holster has helped get more Americans armed than ever before. What's so special about this Vanish holster, you might ask? Well, simple. It is the most comfortable holster ever. The most comfortable holster I've ever worn. I have plenty of experience, 15 years in bounty hunting, lots of experience with holsters and firearms. And when you get a Vanish holster, you'll never stop carrying because you'll forget you're even wearing it. Plus, the Vanish holster saves you money. That's because it fits 99% of all semi-auto handguns. It works without a tactical belt. It lets you carry in multiple positions. It carries two fully loaded magazines. And best of all, because you're a viewer of this program, you get it for $50 off. I am told that this discount is set to expire soon, so kick in your special pricing. Lock it in right now. Go to vanish.com/stew. That's VNSH.com/stew. VNSH.com/stew. It's all back for the money-back guarantee, and I believe them when they say it's the only holster that you'll ever need because it's the last one that you'll ever buy. Vanish.com/stew right now, today, before this discount expires.
And welcome back to the Stu Peters Show. I'm Paul Harrell, filling in for Stu. So from the very beginning, the left has wanted to destroy the family. That's not just some allegation from us. They say it in their own writings, in the Communist Manifesto. Engels and Marx vowed to abolish the family. In the early Soviet Union, the Bolsheviks practiced free love, and Lenin only changed his mind when dealing with all of the abandoned children that existed as a result, and the fact that that was just too much of a bother for him. In just the last few years, a new book and multiple articles have called for the abolishing of the family. The family stands in the way of everything on the left's agenda. When you have a family, you don't need an all-powerful government sugar daddy to support you. When you have a family, you have a purpose to your life besides being a cog in the wheel of government. When you have a family, you're more resistant to propaganda. When you have a family, you care about your children and are more likely to notice and object to the insane ideas the state wants to foist onto young people. The family is created by God, and our regime is profoundly godless. The family is a threat. And so, over and over, the left tries to eliminate it. Right now, a new assault on the family is underway in the state of California. There, the state's hyper-left lawmakers are weighing a bill, AB 957, which will allow for parents to lose custody of their children if they do not affirm whatever made-up gender identity their children have. Under the bill, state family court judges will be told that in any kind of custody dispute between parents, they must always automatically side with the one that affirms a child's gender if there is any disagreement on that point. We should not be surprised, because these sort of attacks aren't just a thing in blue states, by the way. They're a thing even in red states. Recently in Collier County, Florida, where Naples is, the county school board was recently approached by a telehealth company named Hazel. Hazel, as well as its partner company Hazel Health, wanted to launch a 2-month pilot program for Collier County school children to provide, quote, LGBT mental services, mental health services. If this program was allowed to launch, though, what it would have immediately opened the door for is for school employees signing up children for these LGBT mental health programs without informing the parents, and then setting up a possible loss of custody if the parent protested. Fortunately, though, this telehealth program wasn't allowed off the ground thanks to the alertness and efforts of the Collier County Republican Party. Dan Cook is the vice chairman of the board of the Collier County GOP and a former delegate to the Continental Congress, and he joins us now. Dan Cook, welcome to the Stu Peters Show. We really appreciate it.
Well, thanks very much for having me.
Okay, so what can you tell us, first off, when did you find out that the Collier County School Board was thinking about launching this health program where they were going to basically foist LGBTQ propaganda on kids?
Yeah, so Paul, last week, about a week and a half before the school board meeting, I was doing my normal due diligence of looking through the agenda to look for any red flags. And there's something on every school board agenda, every county commissioner, city council meeting agenda, called the consent agenda. Now, this is stuff where they normally will just rubber stamp routine things. For the school board, it's normally like, we need to fix some plumbing at one school, or we need to replace some lights at another school. You know, very routine stuff like that. But I came across one headline that said health services. So I clicked on it, and there are a couple of attachments there on the agenda item. And that's where I found the contract with Hazel Health Company. Started doing my research, found out that it's based out of San Francisco, California. Found out that it's all about providing this telemental health services to students. And I immediately realized this is not something that the conservative parents of Collier County want in our schools.
So telehealth, so it's like if you don't have a doctor on the ground that'll do it, we'll have these telehealth programs, and we're going to basically sign your kids up. And the parents, by the way, would not have to be notified. So in a way, this is, you know, a way for teachers to get around the new prohibitions of, you know, sexualizing kids, grooming kids. We'll just farm it out and let some doctor, or let some, you know, mental health specialist in California indoctrinate your kids. I mean, is that what this was?
Oh, pretty much. So there, I did look in there, and I think there is a consent form that would go out to the parents. But as some of the public speakers mentioned at our school board meeting, how many parents are going to read all of the fine print? The consent form will probably be doctored up and presented to the parents as, all right, we're doing you a favor. We're trying to get this, you know, mental health services for your children. But where the lack of informed consent comes in is with something else that I found on the agenda. So the school board was also trying to change their policy as far as informing parents about a student's mental health services. So the way that they changed the language in this policy, it said that if a reasonably prudent person, employee of the school district, basically deems it in the child's best interest to withhold information from the parents, that's okay. So they were trying to do this 1-2 punch on us, sign this contract with the telehealth company, Hazel Health, and then change the school board policy. But fortunately, that didn't happen. It didn't go down in Collier County.
Well, and so you were doing your due diligence. You were searching these minutes, the contract, and they were trying to sneak it in. That's what I'm hearing you say, is they were trying essentially, I don't know, I've heard it legislative, you know, legislators do this all the time where they say, oh, this is a bill just to clean up some language or, you know, but you actually read it and it does something, you know, monumental. It's actually a huge change. This would have been a huge change. So what does that say about the Collier County School Board? Who on the school board was trying to sneak this through?
That's an excellent question. So I did find out that the recently appointed interim superintendent, Dr. Leslie Ricciardelli, did sign her name to the contract with Hazel. And she signed her name prior to the board discussing it and prior to getting feedback from the public. And I called her out about that. And I called out the board about that as well. And I basically said, look, you as a board need to be doing your due diligence. I shouldn't be the one who's clicking on the links on this consent agenda to discover this. All the school board members need to be doing that.
Yes.
And so when we look at what's going on here, I'm sure it's being replicated in other counties. So if there are activists in other counties wondering what can be done, educate your school board members on doing their due diligence and researching these consent agendas. Because once you identify it, you could organize and stop it. But a lot of times, like you were saying, this stuff gets swept under the rug. It gets pushed without them shining a spotlight on it. But that's where the citizens and the school board members' due diligence comes into play.
You know, I got to tell you, just the complete betrayal of the trust of the American people, specifically when it comes to the healthcare industry, is just something I can't get over. And this is another one of those stories where you know, they used to call abortion health care, and we would obviously say, no, this is not health care, this is murder. But now they're calling this, you know, gender-affirming care health care that is actually setting kids on a path to hell, setting them up for a life of ruin, sending them up to where they're not going to be able to have kids, basically ruining their, you know, reproductive chances. A lot of people think that's a part of depopulation. And then you take an even further step back and you look at the COVID jabs, you look at this top-down totalitarian system that was essentially turned on during COVID, during 2020, and it's just unbelievable how under the guise of healthcare, under the guise of this new priestly class, the doctors that can do no wrong, the trust that we all had in them, they are essentially attacking the very foundation of the American family now. Now, think about that. I mean, medicine, the profession of medicine used to be about doing no harm, used to be about keeping people healthy or eliminating disease, and now they're doing things that are essentially, man, the pipe dream of some of the social engineers. We mentioned at the top of the monologue, you know, Marx and Engels. This is their dream to essentially, and they're using healthcare to destroy the American family. Do you agree?
I do. And I think about what Ronald Reagan said. He said the seven or nine most dangerous words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. That is exactly what we have going on here. It's flipped on its head. Government, whether it's the school board, whether it's Congress, everywhere in between, government is trying to do so much for the people. And then by us consenting to that, either through ignorance or ignorance, meaning we ignore what's going on. When we give our consent to them, that's when they, you know, we give them an inch, they take a mile. They start taking our rights away. And we saw that with the lockdowns and the mask mandates. Here in Collier County, we were dealing with this exact same school board who did successfully force masks on kids. Even here in Red, Florida, conservative Collier County, our kids were forced to wear masks in school for a full year, until we, the people, organized and went and raised hell and put a stop to it.
Hmm. And God bless you for doing that. And, you know, this goes to show, and I see this all across the country, you know, the Collier County GOP, you guys are conservatives. You guys are true conservatives, actually believe in the Republican Party platform, right? And yet the people in your local community are not that. How does that happen? How does it happen that so often we have, you know, the local party apparatus. And I'm not talking about the Ryan. I'm not talking about the uniparty, you know, in D.C., but the local party apparatus. And that, and yet in your local communities, you have people that are completely hostile to that. And this is the case all across the country. And it's one of the reasons why, if you're going to do anything politically, if you feel the need to do anything politically, you need to look and see what you can do locally first, because that's really where you could have the biggest impact. What do you say to that?
You're absolutely correct about local. Local political engagement is where it begins. You can stop so much tyranny by having strong local government. Now, to answer your question, why are there so many establishment types in power, especially here, like in Collier County? I think it's just because we, the people, have been asleep at the wheel. You know, conservatives like myself, we're focused on providing for my family, working hard. Yes, I've known that government's corrupt for quite some time, but up until the COVID lockdowns, I have not been that engaged. And I think a lot of other people as well have not been as engaged. And that allows the corrupt big government type rhino Republicans to get their foot in the door and, you know, pretend to be conservative Republicans when they're really not. But because the majority of people like me did not get out and vote, did not get active and engaged, we allowed them to get into power. And so now we're kind of late to the battlefield, but we're on the battlefield, and we've had amazing successes here in Collier County, in large part because we've got local business owners too that are partnering with political activists that give us a platform to organize and prepare before school board meetings. About 2 years ago, when they were pushing the mask mandates, we were able to get about 100 people to the school board meetings because local business owners also got engaged. They let us, you know, have petitions at their checkout counters. They helped us to promote the school board meetings. And so when the community, when the patriots, the political activists, and the business owners joined forces, we were able to really have a unified effort and have strength in numbers.
Back to this California law. I covered this story on the Stu Peters Network. I was filling in for the great Teddy Daniels, in the trenches with Teddy Daniels, which follows this program every night. We were covering the fact that there's a state senator in California that, when it came to this specific law, the law that's going to strip the custody away from parents who refuse to submit to the trans agenda, who refuse to essentially validate their child's mental illness when, you know, she thinks he's a he or he thinks he's a she. This guy said, normally I would say, we've got to organize, we've got to stay and fight. But he basically waved the white flag, this state senator, and he said, it's time to flee California. If you and if you're a parent and you've got kids, this type of ideology, we're not going to be able to stop it. And so you better flee to actual America where this type of stuff is going to be at least fought, and it's not been implemented yet. I see this, talked about the godlessness of America, and God did, in fact, yes, he's the one that instituted the family. I see this as essentially just anti-Christian. This is just part of the anti-Christian, the re-paganization of the world that we're seeing, that now people are being hostile towards the normal, I was going to say traditional, but let's just use the word normal, male, female, they get married, they have kids, they don't subscribe to the trans agenda. This is anti-Christianism. Do you agree?
It's totally anti-Christianism. It's anti-American too. Recently we put on a Pray for America town hall here in Collier County. We actually use our taxpayer funded commissioner's chambers to assemble, to speak and pray for America. And in that town hall, I was teaching about America's biblical roots. The Mayflower Compact was signed in 1620. And I'm a descendant of Francis Cook, who came over on the Mayflower. And one of the things that is spoken about in the Mayflower Compact is that one of their main goals was to bring Christianity to the New World. And that was one of the foundational principles that our First Amendment was based upon. So to say that we're not a Christian nation, all right, so the First Amendment prevents us from having a national religion, but that's not to say we aren't founded on biblical principles and the Bible itself. We actually are, according to the Mayflower Compact.
So real quick, we don't have a lot of time. So how did this event go? Because I think you're exactly right. Prayer is a huge part of the answer here, if not the part of the answer. We do have to pray to fight off this resurgence of paganism and the Christian persecution. I mean, we saw it in Nashville with what that trans person did in slaughtering those children at the Christian school there. So how did the event go?
You know, the town hall was incredible. I've been slowly trying to assemble a group of patriots there at the commissioner's chambers. Maybe we could recall it We the People's Chambers. But it was great. We had about 60 citizens show up and literally just pray for about an hour and a half. And I think that we shook things up in the spiritual realm. And I try my best to be guided by the Holy Spirit. And I think that God guided me to stumble upon this consent agenda at the school board. And I think that had a big part to do with our success at the school board.
Yeah, and protecting children. I mean, that's what it was used for, to protect kids. Dan Cook with the Collier County GOP, we really do appreciate you being a guest here on the Stu Peters Show.
Oh, well, thanks very much for having me.
All right, folks, the Stu Peters Show rolls on. Don't go anywhere. Back in just a moment.
Did you know that over 50 million adults right here in the United States suffer with sleep issues every day? If that's you, you're not alone. Sleep is the cornerstone for better health. Plus, people can't properly combat stress and anxiety. These numbers are directly correlated to this one. 75% of Americans suffer a magnesium deficiency, which helps you to combat stress and get better sleep. Magnesium Breakthrough has the 7 most critical types of magnesium all in one pill. Go to magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters. magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters. Again, magbreakthrough.com/Stu Peters. Filtersuck.com is the leading manufacturer in filterless air purification systems, whether you're dealing with pollen or mold or dust, shedding from your pet, or vaccinated neighbors' mRNA spike protein shedding. Filtersuck.com has solutions for every scenario, at home, at work, or on the go. Breathe with confidence. Don't let your air suck. Rest well knowing that your home is protected 24/7, so now you can get a unit for your home or a portable unit for on-the-go travel. That's filtersuck.com. Use promo code STU for 10% off when you go to filtersuck.com. As someone who goes to battle every day with the demonic deep state, as someone who's constantly researching and trying to get information to you, booking interviews, scheduling huge projects like documentaries like Died Suddenly, obviously energy is an issue. Sometimes you have no afternoon energy. Sometimes your mood is affected. So I started taking Newtopia. I felt a noticeable improvement in my ability to focus and or remember important things once I started using Newtopia. I noticed a boost in my cognitive performance, my energy levels, my mood. Since I began taking Newtopia, I've been able to power through challenging tasks and distractions and manage more projects than ever without rising stress levels, which is incredibly important in current times. Since incorporating Newtopia into my routine, I articulate my thoughts more clearly. So why is Newtopia the best? They have developed a highly effective nootropics specifically designed to unlock your brain's maximum focus and concentration and creativity. Personalize your pack for your unique neurochemistry, choosing from 9 breakthrough brain formulas designed to help with a range of mental and emotional issues. Go to newtopia.com/Stu Peters. Again, newtopia.com/Stu Peters. If you want big discounts, use promo code Stu Peters when you go to newtopia.com/Stu Peters.
And welcome back to the Stu Peters Show. I'm Paul Harrell, filling in for Stu. So Dr. Rochelle Walensky is about to depart from the CDC at the end of this month. Sadly, she's not leaving the way she should, in handcuffs, to spend the rest of her life in prison. Walensky played a central role, rivaled only by Anthony Fauci himself, in perpetuating the maze of lies around COVID-19 and the vaccines that were such a failure in treating it. Walensky is the one who went on TV and told people that if they got the jab, it meant they wouldn't be able to get COVID or pass it to others. Both claims were false. Walensky constantly gave the public wildly inconsistent answers on topics like reopening schools or wearing masks, allowing the permanent lockdown crowd to drag out both masks and school closures vastly longer than was ever reasonable. Republicans in Congress are trying to prevent her from slinking away into the shadows. For a subcommittee hearing last week, Republicans grilled Walensky on all sorts of topics, and rather than answer forthrightly, she constantly evaded, trying to depart quietly like a criminal. One participant in this drama was retired Green Beret and constitutional attorney Ivan Raiklin, who gave the most entertaining statement of the day when he shook Walensky's hand and said he looked forward to her testifying about her role in killing thousands of Americans. Watch.
Hey, Dr. Walensky, Ivan Raiklin, I really look forward to you testifying about your involvement in murdering 38,000 Americans due to the jab.
Ivan Raiklin joins us now. Ivan, thanks so much. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show.
Hey, thanks, Paul. Thanks for having me on. Absolutely.
Okay, so I was talking to you a little bit before we came on, and you have actually been, this is not the first, corrupt government official at a congressional hearing that you have done this to. Is that right?
That is correct. This is not my debut. I've actually, since the Congress, the 118th Congress opened up on January 3rd of this year, I've pretty much almost every day of the week when they've been in session, been up there and trying to gain access to every single committee that's open. I've already had the opportunity to confront and shed some light on the what I call the fake Attorney General Merrick Garland, also the fake Secretary of Defense, faux SecDef as I call him, Lloyd Austin, and then you also had General Milley was there. I also had an opportunity to engage with acting fake Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, who's about to get impeached for what that's worth. I actually spoke with him actually three times at this point. And then who else? The TSA administrator, Pekoski. And, well, luckily for me, after confronting some of these fools, as we call them. Oh, I forgot to mention Chris Wray. He had way too much security because when they found out that I would be attending the hearing, I think they plussed up their security probably tenfold. Not only U.S. Capitol Police, but his own personal security. And again, I don't pose any physical threat. As in a previous show I was on with Stu, I don't pose any physical threat. My threat is their exposure of corruption. And that's why they don't like it. So they want to make sure that they keep me as far away as possible from, peacefully and patriotically engaging with these individuals and asking them questions. Sometimes I don't even ask a question. I just, like I said in this clip here, I really look forward to your, America really hearing from you, corrupt actor, when you actually explain your role in murdering at a minimum 38,000 Americans due to the jab.
Okay.
And we're looking at probably more to 3.8 million.
Okay. That was my next question. I was like, why 38,000 because, I don't trust these numbers. I know some of these numbers come from the VAERS system, and we're going to assume that they're lying about those because they lie about everything else. I mean, millions of people have died from this thing.
Right. So let's give the range. The reason why I came up with the 38,000 number, and I just don't say numbers whimsically. If you go actually to the thread of my tweet that posted that video, and the next one down, I did a screen capture of going through the process of finding the database. It's called the CDC Wonder VAERS database. And again, just for those that first time hearing about this, which I'm sure your viewers, you've heard about it a lot.
Oh, yeah.
But it's the database that lays out the 32 years worth of adverse events over the course of 32 years of all vaccine-related injuries and deaths over the history of those over three decades. Now, the COVID, what they call COVID, what I call the CCP-19 bodily mutilator, if you will, or DNA mutilation injection, that's only been in existence for the last couple of years. So when you go to that video and you take a look, you see that in the collective between the Moderna mutilation, the Pfizer fail, and the J&J jab, all three combined results in 38,000 adverse events, death adverse events that were logged into that system. Now, if you take that and then couple it with the Harvard study that was done expressing that it is most likely that not even 1% of adverse events are reported to the database, then you can easily multiply that by a factor of 100. So from 38,000 times 10 is 380,000. And so a multiple of 100 makes it 3.8 million.
Yeah.
Now, let's just say you're a radical leftist domestic terrorist libtard sitting in the FBI headquarters that is censoring information with your surrogates over at the San Francisco field office, Brian Auten in headquarters, talking to his buddy Joe Pienka III in the San Francisco field office, who tasks his buddy Elvis Chan to then contact the former number two attorney at Twitter 1.0, Jim Baker, who was the general counsel at the FBI before that. Let's just say those three people want to censor you and say that you're a liar and disinformation spreader. Well, then the question should be asked, if it's not 38,000, you're claiming that, oh, those numbers are skewed and those aren't inaccurate. Well, how many of those 38,000 as a percentage can be attributed to the jab? Is it 1%? Is it 10%? Is it 25-50? Let's just go with a conservative number. Let's just say it's 10% of those that were reported are attributed, and 90% were false claims, right? Yeah. That still means that 3,800 people were murdered. That is still more than any other vaccine in that table over the last 32 years.
Exactly.
Easily, yeah. Over that.
So you've got, you know, Rochelle Walensky, you know, and you sat in that hearing. Is it accurate to say you just evaded all of the tough questions?
Yeah, anytime. So I would say, if you don't have time to watch the full several hour testimony and the colloquy with Congress, I would say that the three highlights would be, number one, the engagement that was done between, and I have my reticence on some issues with Marjorie Taylor Greene, but on this one, she definitely nailed it on the head in this hearing, where she discussed the 1.5 million adverse reactions as reported to the VAERS system.
She probably got permission from Kevin McCarthy. Let's just be clear. She was given permission by Kevin McCarthy to do what she did.
You know the dynamics. Absolutely.
Yeah, so
number two, Jim Jordan, absolutely. You know, he's made for TV. But I get the reticence on Jim Jordan that it's all for show. It's a clown show. But let's be honest. He's probably the busiest guy in Congress on the different committees that he's on. But his performance educates a large swath of America because they hone in on it. So that engagement was pretty effective. And then I'd say the last one that was most effective is Jim Comer is the actual committee chair for the committee that is above this subcommittee, the Oversight and Investigations Committee. And as he's engaging with Walensky, he's asking questions such as, hey, by the way, everything you said in that when you were advising on policy related to the CCP-19 was wrong. And then when he started to question that you were wrong, she would respond with something like, oh, due to pending litigation on whether I was right or wrong, I can't really comment on that. So they use the guise of pending litigation. I can't talk about that. And that's when you could see the emotional or facial disgust by Jim Comer, where he basically looks over to Dr. Rich McCormick, who's a freshman congressman from Georgia. He's like, yeah, it's funny how all these witnesses always say due to litigation, they can't say anything, particularly as it applies to the Biden criminal syndicate. And so he was referencing that along with it. So I think he did a really good job. And hopefully that coupled with the Twitter 2.0 movements by Elon Musk. And now I think recently this last week with the interview between Robert F. Kennedy Jr. on Joe Rogan, we're starting to see the radical left and the moderate left, definitely, and the radical left is waking up to seeing that, guess what? They were bamboozled in this entire, the death jab, money-making, you know, brand, all these people are brand ambassadors for Big Pharma, and people are starting to see that.
Yeah, I mean, we also know that Instagram influencers, I mean, Big Pharma really, they pulled out no stops. Even like low-level Instagram influencers were being paid money to say they got the jab, didn't even actually have to get it. It was very, I mean, very Orwellian, very totalitarian.
I believe that, absolutely.
And you mentioned that Jim Jordan, you know, is made for TV. Very much these hearings are made for TV, and I don't deny that they're entertaining. And Twitter 2.0 is certainly...
You mentioned a comment about myself that it was entertaining. Unfortunately, I hate to say this, it has to be entertainment in order to educate the country.
So that was
because
my question.
Most lemmings out there are just... they're not going to pay attention to boring hearings.
Right.
You have to make it entertaining so that you can educate. It's that funnel of attention grab and then, hey, smack, 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 wake up. This is what's going on.
Do you have confidence, though, that the more people that do wake up, and I agree with you, Twitter 2.0 is, that stuff's getting out there. They're not saying that it's a bioweapon, which, of course, we here at the Stu Peters program, that's what we want them to say because that's what it actually is, so people can accurately describe what it was that, you know, happened to them. But do you think that this getting out there is going to actually create accountability. Do we have accountability at the end of the road? Hearings like that that are entertaining, Twitter not censoring the information, gets more people awake. Are they going to be outraged enough? But will there actually be accountability at the end of the road? What do you think?
I think it's the opposite. We have to basically create the opposite of what they did as it applies to January 6th. So they made the narrative, but the thing is, the truth is on our side, so it's going to be easier, I think. But it's going to be more prolonged since we have to break that entire censorship.
Was a,
right?
was a lie. Yeah, go
right,
ahead.
Right, so the J6 narrative where they basically said it was a total insurrection, five U.S. Capitol Police were killed as a result of January 6th. Meanwhile, the truth is there were five that committed suicide, probably likely due to Yogananda Pittman taking over as the acting police chief and then covering up for the coup that she was involved in. And that's all getting out. So on our side, as we start to penetrate the 99% narrative of the radical left, which is false, we start to get it out there. I mean, with this program, Stu Peters Network, the Twitter 2.0, we have Truth Social, Getter, right? Gab, all these different platforms that have really been created as a result of the censorship. They're starting to even backpedal from the legacy media to start to put some stuff out there. I mean, even CommyTube changed their terms of service to allow people to talk about that 2020 was an absolute abject, fraudulently conducted and illegally certified election. Why? Because guess what? It's a little too late. But then also because they're losing massive market share. And to kind of like summarize your question, do you think that accountability is coming? Accountability has to start with educating a majority and preponderance of the electorate to get so charged up so that they can see the causal effect of these jabs. Once they understand that, they're going to be infuriated. And now, luckily, we have somebody like RFK Jr. Is, let's face it, during the lockdown, he was the biggest, most accurate voice in the planet, on the planet. Remember, there was I think he spoke in front of over a million people in Germany, somewhere in Europe, during these lockdowns. And I think he's going to be very instrumental in getting folks woken up enough. And hopefully, whoever the next president ends up being, I argue that RFK Jr. needs to be the Nuremberg 2.0 chairman.
And
I would support that.
If there was a Nuremberg 2.0, I don't care who the chairman is, honestly, at this point, if it would just happen. So you mentioned...
But he's got the receipts. He wrote the book about, the real Anthony Fauci.
Right.
I don't know how this program feels about him, but definitely...
RFK Jr.
On this
certainly,
topic, on yeah. this specific topic... He's the only one that got it right that is running for any office right
Look,
now.
Look, he's a traditional liberal, so, I have personal disagreements with him over, abortion. But, yes, obviously, he is bringing – he won't call it a bioweapon yet, which is a problem, but he certainly is waking a lot of people up, and he has a lot – and the real Anthony Fauci
he gets close. No,
fantastic.
But he gets close to calling it a bioweapon.
He does get close.
And he skirts around it.
Right, and I've it'll be interesting to see how the Overton window shifts. Just the fact that RFK is in the race
Key point.
At all.
We've moved that Overton window massively, and we're literally the next phase of that Overton window, the next logical adjective is essentially to describe it as you just said.
Yeah.
We went from basically nothing to now it's a lab incident. Well, now we have to basically show the American public that it wasn't a lab. It wasn't an accidental lab incident. It was an intentional lab incident. And that's when you can start calling it the bioweapon.
Yeah, absolutely. And Stu Peters' show, Stu has done great work exposing, where this came from, Fort Detrick, Ralph Barrick, the research, everything. As well as a lot of people think this entire Ukrainian conflict, one of the key rubs that Russia actually has with the West are the bio labs that were at first said were a myth, and then they were admitted in the Senate committee with Victoria Nuland and Marco Rubio. Yes, in fact, we do have bio labs, and we're worried that Russia's going to get them.
I saw that.
A lot of this stuff is coming out, and the fact that Twitter 2.0, where there's a lot of normies, it's not being censored anymore. It really is a huge deal. Ivan Raiklin, thank you so much for doing what you're doing. You're going to continue doing this. Now, are you going to be at the John Durham hearing? And are you going to try to get on the front row? And what would you say to John Durham if you could? There's a lot of people who are very disappointed with John Durham.
Yeah, so for your audience, probably knows the term limited hangout. I know Noel Frisch definitely uses that term quite often. But bottom line is John Durham, I argued from the get-go, he was just there to off-gas those people that were going to do something about researching and exposing the corruption of the DOJ and FBI. He's there to protect that corruption. And he does it in a way that looks like he's actually exposing something. So limited hangout, right?
Yep, limited
hangout. But bottom line, am I going to be there on Wednesday? Yeah, I'm going to do my best in order to be there. And I think if I had one question that I would ask John Durham, it would be a long question. It would sound something like this. Special Counsel Durham, why did you leave out any investigation into the following individuals? Is my first part of the question. Mike Pence, let's see here, Andrew McCabe, Jim Comey, Andrew Weissman, Rod Rosenstein, right? Peter Strzok, Joe Pienka, Elvis Chan, Jim Baker, Brian Auten. And the second part of the question, oh, by the way, Paul Ryan, what is his name? Lindsey Graham, and then Richard Burr, Senator from North Carolina. That would be in that first batch of why didn't you look into them and their role in this whole cover-up of the illegal spying. And the second part to the question is probably the more important one, which is, who and why did change the original Woods file that was used to get the FISA court to go ahead and approve the illegal spying on the Trump campaign through Carter Page? So again, who changed the original Woods file that was the predicate for the FISA court to approve spying on Carter Page? Because guess what? The original was destroyed. And then the second one was reconstructed. Who did it and why did they do it?
Now, those are great questions. Still a lot of unanswered questions, a lot that John Durham didn't go into. Ivan Raiklin, thank you so much for coming on the Stu Peters Show.
Thank you, Paul.
Absolutely. Folks, that's all the time we have. Thank you, Stu, for allowing me to host. We've got the great In the Trenches with Teddy Daniels coming your way next. My name's Paul Harrell. Have a blessed evening.
If you have a child and that child has a diagnosis of ADHD, you've gone to the doctor and they are suggesting neurotoxins like Adderall and Ritalin and methylphenidate and clonidine because they are whores for big pharma and because they are poison pushers and fake doctors, please try something else before you destroy your kid's life potentially with all of the documented irreversible long-term side effects associated with all of the aforementioned. Please try CBD and please use the family-owned business that we do business with here. All the hemp is grown right here in my home state of Minnesota. Everything can be sourced. You're not going to get any poisons or toxic crap in your CBD like you will if you go to the corner store, which sells all of this BS from China. Go to curable.com. That's K-U-R-I-B-L, curable.com. Family-owned business, all the hemp sourced right here in my home state of Minnesota. So many other benefits to Curable, which you can find on their website. Plus, if you like THC products, they have them as well. Go to curable.com. Use promo code STU for 20% off site-wide when you go to curable.com. If you're struggling with swelling in your legs, ankles, or feet, you'll want to listen up. Maybe you're already drinking plenty of water. You've tried wearing the ugly compression socks. You've taken the ineffective water pills, and that's why still every day you look down and you see swollen, puffy, and deformed feet and ankles. Well, don't lose hope. New research shows that this common issue can easily be resolved by upping your intake of omega-3 fatty acids. Omega-3s are proven to improve circulation while lowering inflammation in the body. That means it encourages blood and fluid to move more freely while reducing swelling and pain. Now, most people think fish oil is the way to go with omega-3s, but that's wrong. According to studies, krill oil is far superior for a few reasons. One of those reasons is krill is harvested from the pristine Antarctic Ocean where there's virtually no pollution. For a limited time right now, you can grab Native Path Antarctic Krill Oil for as low as $23 a bottle. Go to the research and buy them now while you can, $23 a bottle at StopSwollenFeet.com. Again, that's StopSwollenFeet.com. Look around at what's going on right now. Banks are collapsing all over the place. And then they're getting bailed out. And who's paying for that? You are. They say taxpayers won't pay. They say that other banks will pay. Well, how do those banks get that money? They'll probably raise your bank fees like they always do. And if the Fed steps in, you'll likely also be paying an inflation tax. In times like this, storing all of your money in a bank may be very risky, as we have seen. So what can two average Joes like you and I even do about it? Protect your wealth with gold and silver, just like so many other Americans and banks are doing right now. Call 855-706-GOLD to learn how to protect your savings with gold and silver. Call Goldco today, 855-706-GOLD.